Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
And I am Brett Winterbull. It is the Brett Winterbull Show on News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Great to be with you on this Wednesday edition. Tomorrow night is Talktoberfest, by the way. It'll be me and Vince Coakley interacting with the great listeners and actually viewers, because you're going to be on Facebook Live. You'll see us in addition to hearing us in real time. And I want to invite you to be a part of that. Starts at 7:30 tomorrow night. And morning, noon, night, we're there 24 hours a day. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be terrific, and we want you to be a part of it. WBT Facebook page starting 7:30 p.m. Thursday night, tomorrow night. I am joined now by Brett Jensen. Breaking Brett Jensen, I've got a vision in my mind, Brett Jensen, of a weapon of a sort that has been found at yet another school. What is going on? What number are we on? What is happening in CMS?
Well, first of all, Brad, I just want to let you know that I will be bombing your and Vince's Talktoberfest tomorrow. So just want to let you know. So be prepared for that. You never know what's going to happen, but just be prepared.
I am prepared. Hey, listen, I'm prepared to see you, man. It's going to be wonderful.
It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to watch it. So anyways, but in terms of the most serious things on hand, yes, today, gun number 11 since August 25th at a CMS campus today. This time it was a 17-year-old kid charged with bringing a gun to school at West Charlotte High School. And again, this makes gun number 11. Last week, we had 10 guns in 36 days. So, you know, add another, you know, 4 or 5 days to this. So now we've got 11 guns in, what, 40, 41 days, somewhere thereabouts. So, I mean, this is, again, we're talking about a gun every 3.5 to 4 days
that's
being found on a CMS campus.
This is incredible. Is there any sense of urgency beginning to set in as it relates to the folks at CMS who are responsible for the safety and security of the children, maintaining the environment for an education rather than something potentially tragic? What's going on here? What are they saying?
Well, you know, that's the million-dollar question. And at first, you know, this members of the school board literally tried to blame this on COVID, saying, well, because the kids weren't in school last year, that they're used to just walking around and doing what they want.
Oh,
and if they're
gosh.
Used to carrying guns on the street, then they're going to be used to carrying, they're just going to bring them with them to school. The problem, the reason why that doesn't hold water is because Raleigh, Wake County, which is bigger than CMS, actually the 15th biggest school district in the country up at Wake County, they've had, as of 2 weeks ago, one student with two guns. So, and CMS is on gun number 11. So, you know, so apparently they didn't have COVID in Raleigh. And in terms of safety and everything else, you know, like, there's been a lot of talk on the outside about metal detectors and or just, at the very least, just wanding students.
Yep.
Like, you would have to be wanded when you would go in to see a concert Spectrum Center.
Right.
You know, and those wands are $150 to $200 each. So there's been a lot of talk about that on the outside, but nothing on the inside from CMS.
Here's what bothers me most profoundly about this, being a parent. It's that we are now 11 of these in, right? We've got 11 guns that have been discovered over the course of a little bit more than a month, okay? There, inevitably, we are facing the possibility of a serious tragedy. A loss of life, a serious wounding, a maiming, something like this. And at that point, what's going to happen is you're going to have the usual suspects take to the streets to say, we have to do gun control. No, we have to do illegal gun control. And that means going into the schools and tossing lockers and tossing bags and finding out where the guns are. You don't have a constitutional right to carry a firearm if you're underage into a school. This has got to be taken much more seriously. And I am calling on Brett Jensen. I am calling on Ernest Winston to convene a press conference where he takes questions from parents and from the press to address this issue. And I am calling on the chief of the CMPD to get serious about this and show that you've got the best interests of the students in Charlotte front of mind. And this has got to be done now, because otherwise it's going to be a hastily called press conference in a hospital parking lot, and you and I both don't want to see that.
Well, I will tell you this. I mean, at this rate, there's every reason to believe, it's not a question of if someone will get shot on a CMS campus, but a matter of when. I mean, think about it. Roughly 40 days into the school year, and you have guns?
It's disgraceful.
And so, again, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And the other thing is, Brett, and it constantly is being pointed out to me by many officials and many regular citizens who just have normal jobs that say, these are just the guns that we know about.
Of course.
These are just the 11 guns that we know about, which means there's probably many, many, many more guns that haven't been caught. And so, I mean, again, this is the scary thing. If you are a parent, and we've had guns at middle schools, and then we also had that gun being found at an elementary school, and the elementary school where there are no resource officers, none whatsoever, to protect the elementary school children from any possible danger concerning weaponry.
Perhaps, so perhaps we have to reach out to the sheriff. Maybe the sheriff of Mecklenburg County would like to get involved and send some of the deputies into the schools to go and investigate this sort of stuff, since obviously CMPD doesn't want to do this.
Yeah, I don't even know if it's a CMPD thing. I really honestly believe it might be more of a CMS thing. No, I could be dead wrong on that, but I almost
Okay. So let me say this. Let me say this. A person who's on the CMS school board, right, who was more worried about a Facebook post than 11 guns in the schools, needs to answer this question. Right?
I do not disagree with you. There needs to be a lot of answers coming from a lot of different people, whether it's being the sheriff, CMPD, CMS, or the CMS school board.
Call the freaking U.S. attorney.
Those are the four districts directly involved.
Call the U.S. attorney. Call the district, the DA's office here. Call the ATF. Somebody's got to get in here and make sure these kids are safe, man. I mean, this is a disgrace. Here, you want to fix it tomorrow? Here's how you fix it tomorrow. You don't get to come into school with backpacks that are anything but clear. You get to only come in with clear backpacks. That's what we'll start to do. We'll put all your belongings in a clear, see-through backpack so everybody knows what you're toting around in the bag.
Well, I will say this. One of the weapons earlier this year was found on a girl who had multiple, who had a gun with multiple bullets and magazines was in her purse.
Well, that's
that
it. Sorry.
That was also at West Charlotte High School.
Yeah, sorry, you're not bringing your purse. We need to, safety and security, it's for the children. You're going to have to make these sacrifices, folks. I'm sorry. But this is insane. This is a federal offense to bring a gun onto a school campus as an underage person. And this has got to stop. And I'm sorry, but that's just the way I feel about it, Pritchett.
Well, and I will tell you this also, like, you know, it's, if you are charged with any type of, you know, gun violence or any types of, you know, or something of that nature, you're not allowed on any CMS campus, whether you're there to pick up your child or not. If you could be a 45-year-old adult trying to pick up your 7-year-old daughter from second grade, you're not allowed on campus if you've been charged with crimes, but yet now you've got 11 guns in roughly 40 days of class
time.
CMS.
Okay, so the U.S. attorney for the Western District of North Carolina is William Stetzer. Hey, Bill, bring some charges against these kids and federalize it. Let's send a real message that you're taking this seriously. Stop blaming lawful gun owners. Go after the criminals. That's all I want to say. Brett Jensen.
Well, I do know in Wake County that the person that I spoke to in the PR department with the Wake County school system was unaware that it was an automatic felony.
Well, there we go.
They literally had
no idea.
They said,
How would they know?
I just thought they were suspended for a year. They literally said, I thought they were just suspended for a year if they brought a gun to school.
Yeah, please.
Like, wait, what?
Yeah, you're in the wrong business.
I'm not even joking.
Yeah, this has got to stop. Brett Jensen, thanks for coming by, man. I appreciate you.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Anytime, Brett.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. We don't have any kind of an update yet on this potential Brian Laundry situation down in the swamp in Florida. If we get any information, we'll obviously share that with you. we were talking at the end of the program yesterday about education and about what it is that's going on in the schools. Well, you just heard from Brett Jensen, obviously, another gun found at a school. You know, this is number 11 in 44 days. It's really getting completely out of control. I mean, it's been out of control for a long time, but it's gotten even more out of control than we might have expected. Earlier today, Nicholas Cruz pled guilty in a courtroom in Florida to the murders of 17 people in that horrible attack at the middle school, at the high school in Florida back in 2018. Now, one of the reasons why Nicholas Cruz was at that facility for as long as he was, at the school for as long as he was because if you go back in time, it was the Obama-Biden administration, and you had, of course, a horrible Secretary of Education running the show, and they were committed to ending the so-called classroom to prison pipeline. Remember, that was the big narrative, the school to prison pipeline, which is just another way of saying we have to mainstream everybody regardless of their behavior. And Nicholas Cruz was one of these people who was violent. He had assaulted staff at the school. He had assaulted other students at the school. He had told people he was going to come and shoot the school back up. And they kept him in school, and they kept him in school, and they kept him in school, and they kept him in school. And they didn't take it seriously. Well, everything bad eventually comes back around to be in vogue with the Biden administration. Joe Biden, and this is a piece over at Real Clear Education, which is a great outlet. Joe Biden is signaling a return to Obama's misguided school discipline policies. This all ties into the guns and the issues of violence on campuses. We were talking last night about how it is that people are being violent with teachers, assaulting teachers, how it is that they're threatening people and that it's become a thankless job to be an educator. Well, as a result, people are deciding, I'm pulling my kids out of school. In fact, in the last 3 or 4 years, you've lost about 3 million students in the school system. I'll have details on that coming up shortly. Despite running a campaign on a return to normal, Joe Biden presides over an administration pushing radical equity agendas that uses the federal government and federal funding to right perceived wrongs. The administration had intended to distribute COVID relief on the basis of race before the courts put a stop to it. Now it's preparing to get involved in local public school discipline, aiming to impose policies that address, quote, racial disparities. Now, during the Obama years, the Office of Civil Rights at the Department of Education confronted school districts around the country with civil rights complaints. The investigations centered on, quote, disparate impact as regards school discipline. That is, any racially unrepresentative outcome would be considered evidence of racism. Districts were strong-armed into making deals with the federal government. New policies were adopted to suspend fewer students. At least 400 school districts serving more than 10 million students were subjected to these agreements. Well, in Milwaukee, a four-year investigation resulted in one of these arrangements in 2018. A new analysis from the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty finds that Milwaukee public schools saw suspension rates plummet for all students after 2018. But that decline also corresponded with deeply troubling trends. Surveys of students by the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee showed that as suspension rates for African-American students went down, student reports of feeling less safe went up. And with the black school age population heavily concentrated in certain Milwaukee public schools, it is black students who are reporting that they don't feel safe with the lack of suspensions. In other words, the students that want to get an education happen to be African American, and they are afraid that the school system is not suspending dangerous students. This represents critical evidence that federal interventions in school discipline are having unintended consequences. Districts can suspend fewer students to comply with the federal government's demands, but their students and teachers report feeling unsafe. This reality is consistent with a Fordham Institute poll from 2019, where nearly 85% of teachers stated that suspensions can be a useful tool for students with discipline problems. Numerous reports suggest that violence against teachers was being tolerated, with the offending student returning to the classroom unpunished after assaulting the teacher or another student. Student safety can also have an important implication for learning. When students don't feel safe at school, retaining information takes a back seat. In light of the persistent racial achievement gap in the United States, lax school discipline policies work against the goal of helping minority students. So what you have now is a return to the bad old days. I'm going to give you the details of what it is that's happening under Joe Biden. The guy who quite literally, I think, has become the Dirty Midas. Everything he touches just turns to ick. This is a nightmare, and it's a nightmare for vulnerable groups of people who have to stay in schools alongside predators who have no interest in learning and a lot of interest in hurting their fellow students and teachers. Stick around for that.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. Taking the trip down education lane here, because it's important to understand what is happening. Not just right here at CMS with this explosion of finding guns, pretty much every 3 or 4 days. But more than that, there is a substantial change taking place in the public schools around the country, and it's being driven by the Biden administration. So just to reset, back once upon a time when Obama and Biden were running the executive branch of government, along with Arne Duncan, who was the Secretary of Education, these folks decided what they were going to do is they were going to radically reduce the amount of students being suspended at the local level in schools around the country. They were going to cut that number because they said it was representative of racism in communities around the country. Well, in June, the Department of Education requested public comment on how to best support and build schools' capacity to promote positive, inclusive, safe, and supportive school climates in a non-discriminatory manner. This seemingly innocuous request signals that the administration is ready to ramp up its actions against schools showing disparities in suspension rates by race. School discipline and school safety hang in this delicate balance. In Milwaukee, the evidence shows that the imposition of top-down policies to meet racial quotas on suspension is actually endangering students, including students of color and teachers. Before the Biden administration repeats this playbook from the Obama era on school discipline, it ought to take note of the unintended consequences. This is Will Flanders, who is the research director at the Wisconsin Institute for Liberty, Law and Liberty. This is something that we ought to consider to be non-negotiable. This has been a long time coming, folks. This isn't anything new. This isn't like anything that's operating as a byproduct of CRT. This has been happening since the 1970s. You have a situation where there was a time where you would track students, right? Kids that were performing very well were in group A. Students that were performing middly, right, were in group B. And students that were underperforming were in group C. And then you had people that were that had issues of behavior, violence, what have you, and they would oftentimes be sent to alternative schools. I mean, this was how it was around the entirety of the country. What happened was you had this push coming from the world of education in which they were coming out and they were saying, OK, that's not fair. That's not right. That's terrible. We need to mainstream everybody and just put them all in a classroom. And thus was born a failing education system on many levels, because you have people that are in that room disrupting others who are trying to learn. Imagine with students that are suffering or battling a number of challenges, say educational challenges, okay? You have somebody who may be afflicted with ADHD or who may be afflicted and be on the autism spectrum or any of that sort of stuff, and you've got somebody in there who's decided that they're going to be violent in a classroom, they're going to disrupt, they're going to do the sorts of things that they know they can get away with because there's no consequences, because the federal government is intervening saying, no, 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 you can't punish a kid because the kid threw a desk at a teacher. It's gotten so bad that this is a big driver as to why teachers did not necessarily want to go back to in-person learning. I could take calls for an hour, I bet, at 704-570-1110 if you're a teacher that's been through this. You know, unruly kids that don't listen, that will not respond even to disciplinary measures, parents that won't even call you back for a conference, parents that won't even reach back out to you, parents that won't acknowledge that their kid is suspended. I mean, when I was in school, and I'm not an old man, I didn't know what an in-school suspension was till I had kids in school. There was no such thing as in-school suspension. There was like, you're suspended, get the heck out of here and stay home. Don't come back on the campus for 5 days or 2 weeks or whatever it was. But now, we make that extra effort to coddle the student that is going to disrupt the classroom and prevent kids from learning. So what ends up happening? People pull their kids out of school. And a lot of people are pulling their kids out of school. And I mean a lot of people are bailing out of school. How bad is it? When we come back, I'm going to give you the numbers. I'm going to tell you how many. It's not in the thousands. It's in the millions. News.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Talk 1110-993 WBT. All right, closing the loop on the school conversation here, because this is important stuff. I'm giving you tons of rhetorical ammo for you to take throughout your life and to wow your friends with. The number of individuals enrolled in the United States education system dropped from 2019 to 2020. Do you know how many people left the education system? 3 million people. 3 million people. The lowest level of school enrollment for those under 35 years of age in over 20 years. This is reporting coming out of Axios. The dip is evident across age groups. The percentage of 3 to 4 year olds enrolled in school dropped from 54% in 2019 to 40% in 2020. It's the first time since 1996 that fewer than half of the kids in that age group were enrolled in school. 3 to 4 year old children of working mothers also saw a greater drop in nursery school enrollment than others in the same group. Enrollments in nursery schools dropped by 25%, while enrollments in kindergarten fell by 9%. The distribution of K through 12 enrollment by race and Hispanic origin remains statistically unchanged from 2019 to 2020. Overall, college enrollment fell to its lowest level since 2007. With the majority of the decline attributed to two-year institutions, junior colleges, which saw their lowest enrollment in 20 years. Graduate school enrollments, now they were still steady. The elites are still going to school. The elites, the wealthy, the people who major in, you know, programs that really won't get you a job, they just want to become professors, they're set for life. They're all set. But what you're seeing is people are voting with their feet or they're pulling their kids out. They don't feel like they are getting the results that they need for their kids to be educated. Why? Because the system is failing. What's the answer from Washington? More money and more restrictions. Do you know that last year, 420,000 homeless kids went missing from schools? Think about this. We talked about this right here in Charlotte. I think the number was 8,000 disappeared. You have 420,000 children disappearing from the school system. Nobody knows if they're ever going to come back into the system. Despite reports of increasing homelessness throughout the country, a national survey last fall estimated approximately 420,000 students experiencing homelessness went missing from school districts' rolls during the pandemic. And many of the methods usually used to find and enroll these kids, teacher referrals, in-person searches, visits to classrooms, were unavailable to homeless education liaisons last year. You have all these people who have fallen out of the system. In March, federal lawmakers approved $800 million to help school districts identify, enroll, and support homeless students, about eight times the amount appropriated in the past. But the question is whether or not you're going to be able to reach these kids. Between 2009 and 2019, that decade, the most recent year for which data is available, the number of students experiencing homelessness in the U.S. rose by 45% to just below 1.4 million. The bulk of that growth came from students staying temporarily with friends and family, known as doubling up. About 84% of homeless students double up or stay in hotels and motels. That's the count used by the U.S. Department of Education, which oversees the primary source of funding for homeless students. What's happening simultaneous to all this, folks? What is happening simultaneously? It's the biggest story out there on the news. What is the biggest story out there? What did we talk about last night? We talked about the secret flights that are coming into communities that the New York Post was able to uncover. So you had 420,000 students go missing from the schools. You've got 1.5 to 2 million people who have come across our border in an unauthorized, read, illegal fashion just in this last fiscal year. Somebody's going to have to go to the schools to keep these schools funded. Somebody's going to have to go in and use the community programs that are not otherwise going to be used that need to continue to be funded. And I think that is part and parcel of what it is we're looking at. The problem is, you've got to find housing, you've got to find shelter, you've got to find an ability to enroll these students, you've got to find all this sort of stuff. But as long as the federal dollars are going to flow out of Washington, D.C., they'll find people to enroll in the systems. It's just not going to be the 420,000 homeless that just disappeared. Or the 8,000 that disappeared inside the Charlotte system. This is a terrible way to try to sell you or anybody else on the efficiencies of government. This is why more and more people want to go to charters. It's why more and more people want to go to parochial, want to go to Catholic, want to go to Christian, want to go to Jewish day schools, want to go to madrasas, want to go to all these places because, first of all, you're not safe. People are bringing guns into school. Second of all, the federal government has a vested interest in keeping your kids unsafe. We know that from the policies that are going to be brought back in. Nicholas Cruz is just one example of what has happened. And every time there is a school shooting, it won't be the fault of a student that shouldn't have been in the school to begin with. It's going to be the fault of you because you happen to be an NRA member, or you happen to have a shotgun, or you happen to have a firearm that you like to go and shoot at the range. It's going to be your fault, the law-abiding registered owner of a firearm. You're going to get the blame. It's not going to be the politicians like Joe Biden and Barack Obama and Arne Duncan and Robert Runcie. Oh, Robert Runcie. You know, Robert Runcie's an interesting guy. He was running as the superintendent of schools there in Broward County when you had the horrible killing at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas school that Nicholas Cruz perpetrated. Do you know what Robert Runcie's best friend in the world? Do you know who he is? Oh, that would be Arne Duncan. Robert Runcie was specifically appointed to the position he held in Broward County because he was ending the classroom-to-prison pipeline. Unfortunately, those policies led directly to the ending of 18 innocent lives of people who wanted nothing more than to have a bright future. And somehow you're the problem, not the bureaucrats. What are you prepared to do about it? 704-570-1110, News Talk 1110-993 WBT.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. Phone number to be a part of the conversation. Hit me up on Twitter as well. On the Facebook page, I got a rolling question over at the Facebook page, by the way. What is your favorite sandwich? If you have to have a sandwich, what are you going with? I don't mean from a particular brand. I mean, actually, like, what is the sandwich you're having? A lot of people like Cubans. A lot of people like the pastrami and a number of other things. They've been voting on that over there. I've also got a little snippet of the most absurd thing that I have come across in a very long time. Did you know that being right-handed is supremacy? That being right-handed is evidence of supremacy. So remember when you decided which hand you were going to use when you were growing up, and you said, I'm going to affirmatively choose this hand to write with? Now, see, I don't remember that either. That didn't happen to me. It never happened to me. I think I just ended up right-handed because I just was right-handed. I don't know where that comes from. I don't think it's actually an exhibition of supremacy in any way, shape, or form. But I'm looking at this image that was posted up here. Right-handed privilege. What does it mean to be right-handed privileged? Well, here's what happens when you're right-handed. It's easier, and it makes life easier. That's what they tell you if you're right-handed. It gives you a sense of belonging and fitting in if you choose to be right-handed. The world is organized for right-handers. You get more access, more opportunity, more advantage. Is that really true? I mean, honestly, is that true? Do right-handers have all these? I mean, being left-handed makes you a victim? How does being left-handed make you a victim? I just look at this and I say to myself, no, wait a minute. This doesn't make any sense. By the way, I got TJ here in the studio with me. Josh is in here as well, but I got TJ and Josh. You know who benefits big time from being left-handed? Pitchers. If you're a lefty, you got to go. If you can hit left, you're good. If you are a lefty as a pitcher, you are a sought after commodity. I mean, my God! And if you're a lefty, you can throw a screwball. Forget it. You're just otherworldly. You'll be pitching until you're 742 years old. But I mean, if you're a pitcher and you're a lefty, you're gonna command some dollars. Oh no, being right-handed is privileged. You know, there is legitimate. Inequality that exists. And if you're going to go to the right-handed is privileged, you undercut your argument. And what you do is, and this is a little social justice organizing kind of lingo that I'm going to flow a little lingo here for a second. Get ready for this. You're alienating allies. If I'm a righty and I want to fight for leftist justice, then I can be your ally. I can say, I understand what it is that's going on here. Also, it helps if you're right-handed. If you are right-handed, it also helps if you're in a potato sack race to have a lefty on the other side, because you don't want two righties stuck in that potato sack. I mean, am I wrong? I think you would want to have somebody who's got the left hand holding that side of the sack. Well, you want him holding his sack from that side, and you hold your sack from this side.
It's more of a leg game, really.
Like a three-legged race?
Yeah.
Wheelbarrow? I hate the wheelbarrow. I actually, when it comes to the wheelbarrow race, I actually get more disgusted being the holder of the feet than being the arms. Because I feel like I don't know where your legs have been. Like, I don't know where your feet were, where your legs were. Look at you with your left-handed wheelbarrowing. Come on, get in the sack with me. That's it. We're going to be in that potato sack. Do they even have potato sacks anymore? I mean, when they have a potato sack race, what is that now? I mean, potatoes don't come in sacks, do they?
They make the sacks specifically for the races.
So you're saying they have an industry. There's an industry out there. So maybe they make right-handed and left-handed.
They're potato-less sacks.
You know, that's... You raise a very, that's an important point, you know, now that you say that, TJ, because if we get in the sack and I'm right-handed and you're left-handed, does that have any impact? I mean, if we're in the sack together and I'm a righty and you're a lefty, I think it makes us more efficient. I just do. I mean, okay, we got to take this guy. Hold on. We're going to go out on three. I'm going to go to Steve. Steve, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I'm a left-hander, and I've been oppressed all my life.
Really? How have you been oppressed?
It's a right-hand world. Most tools are made for right-handers.
Oh, my gosh.
From scissors to AR-15s, you know?
All right, so what do you do? How do you compensate for that? Like, what do you do?
I just do the best I can.
That's terrible. I'm willing to join you in the cause of justice for the lefties, but I mean, do they sell left-handed stuff? Like,
they do. There are left-hand shops. There used to be in the mall. I haven't seen one recently. And you know, Ned Flanders on The Simpsons had a left-hand store. You may.
That's
recall.
Right. He does. Ned Flanders has a left-hand store.
The Leftatorium.
The Leftatorium. That's it. All right, Steve, I'm sorry, man. I want to apologize on behalf of the right-handers.
But that's not really why I'm calling.
Go
I'm
ahead.
Calling to say that this news story about using our children as guinea pigs
for
this experimental vaccine, this is just a horrible idea.
Well,
we are going to regret that someday.
Well, that's the thing. We're going to swing into that coming up here next on this. I mean, this is the ages 5 to 11 are now being commanded, essentially, to get those shots, get those vaccines. When you start getting into kids, you start to get a little bit nervous. I'm not going to lie.
Well, we don't know the long-term effects
yet. That's correct.
You know, we need several years to learn the long-term effects in adults. Even they skipped the animal testing.
Mm-hmm.
They shut down the human testing after only
right.
a few months.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the data yet. They say follow the science. We don't have the science yet.
Here.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
This all stems from, if you go to my Facebook page, at Brett Winterbull Show, I have a slide that's been posted up over there from a lecture that was given by an activist who is saying that when you are if you're right-handed, if you are righty, you are privileged. You are experiencing hand privilege. And that's kind of unbelievable. I mean, I don't want to have a privileged hand. I think I'm privileged enough to have a hand, but I mean, I'll give a hand. I'll lend a hand. No problem there. But I don't know that any of us like have any kind of a decision that we make that says, okay, I'm going to be a righty. How would you fix that? Would you like strap the child's right arm to their side for their formative years and force them to become a lefty? I mean, I don't know. Stan, help me out here. Stan, what's going on? Welcome to the show.
Hey, Brett. I want to tell you something. My brother was born left-handed.
Yes, sir.
And my mother didn't want him to be left-handed, so she handed him everything. Time he would reach for something, she would hand it to him. And his right hand.
Wow.
She actually converted him, but he was still left-footed. So when he would punt or kickball, he would actually do it with his left foot.
Wow.
And he was a great basketball player. As a matter of fact, he got recruited by some colleges to go play basketball because he was like ambidextrous.
Wow.
So what I was thinking about when I called you is that if you can do that, would there be a separate category for those people called trans-handed people?
You would be trans-handed. That's correct. You would be trans-handed. You would be somebody who identifies as maybe you were born righty, but you've become left, or you identify with being a left-hander. So you'd be trans-handed.
Would we allow conversion therapy or not?
Well, no. They can't do the conversion. That's no bueno. That's outlawed. They're not doing conversion therapy.
No, once you go one way, you can never go back.
Well, I think you'd be bi-handed then, probably, right? I mean, if you're not going to be trans-handed, then you'd be bi-handed, which is tricky because that's like that's just another way of saying two hands. And, you know, at least...
Take care, Brett.
Thanks, man. I mean, no, I don't know if two hands are better than one. How would I know that information? Ask Jensen at 6. He'll know. He'll know. All right, I'm going to talk to James. Hello, James. Welcome to the show.
Trans-handed, really?
Well, that's what he said. That was Stan.
Thank you for waiting a second before you called on me. Otherwise, all I'd been doing was laughing too hard. All firearms are designed for right-handed people.
Oh, that's not true.
Yes, it is.
Mm-mm.
Unless you go out and specifically order a rifle on the left-handed configuration, or a shotgun with left-handed configuration,
yeah.
All the controls are set up for right-handed people.
Yeah, okay, that is true, but I'm looking at some very, very fine and attractive firearms for those who are trans-handed. I'm looking at Heckler & Koch VP9. That's for the lefties. Charter Arms. Charter Arms actually has a beautiful. A beautiful semi-automatic pistol that is called a Charter Arms Southpaw.
Yeah, except for one small thing.
What's that?
It's specifically manufactured. That is specifically manufactured for one specific group of people, so it wouldn't work for me. So I'm being discriminated against because I'm right-handed.
Well, then you got to get yourself a Glock 19 Gen 5, and you can just go either way on that thing, man.
you have to go in and reverse the... magazine release.
All right, so here's what we need. Isn't it clear? We need a czar. We need a weapons czar at the White House level, okay? And here's what we're going to... Can you get on board with me on this thing? Here's what we're going to do. I want you to imagine a Glock, okay?
Yeah.
We're going to no longer put... The rounds will no longer go in a magazine that goes into the grip, okay? What we're going to do is we're going to put a slot on the top of the Glock... And you're going to put the magazine up top, that way, sticking up. And you can also use it as a supersized sight for when you want to really blast away. And I think that's how we're going to fix this. That's what the government would do.
That's kind of over-engineering something into a non-functionality.
But isn't that what government does best?
No, actually, government just takes what you have and screws it up.
Ain't that the truth? Are you kidding me? Yeah. If they tried to make everybody left-handed in America, everybody would be right-handed. And somehow, Biden would make $500 million on the deal.
My wife's best friend is a southpaw.
Uh-huh.
And we used to play tennis with her and her first husband.
Yes.
And, of course, the one thing you don't do if you want to stay married is play doubles with your spouse as your partner. So I enjoyed playing doubles with Paula because we never banged rackets when we were going after the same ball.
Oh, very nice. See, I like this.
Because her racket's in her left hand, mine's in my right.
That's right.
They're on opposite sides of each other.
That's the way to handle it. That's good.
And it works.
James, you see, you brought insight and joy to the audience today. He's not buying it. All right, James, I appreciate you being there, man. Listen. You're married. You got to be careful who you bang rackets with because you will get in trouble, especially if you're both on the right. You got to go right-left. I mean, that's it. How about being a boxer? Southpaw is not bad being a boxer. It can be tricky. Rocky was a southpaw. You got to remember, Rocky was a southpaw in the very famous movie. I'm just overwhelmed with like how much we dove into the right-handed privilege. You know what's incredible, really? We didn't have a single caller who's a rightist. You know, we didn't have anybody who was like a right-hand supremacist. You can have my right hand when you take it from my... cold, dead right hand. No. We didn't have any of that. We didn't have any rightism. We didn't have rightism. We didn't have any rightists. There are no people called the proud right-handed boys. I mean, you don't have any of that kind of stuff. I'll have you know, I'm part of the 99 percenters. That's the people who are right-handed. I'm proudly right-handed. It's incredible to see, once again, how it is that people can politicize anything. Like anything can become politicized. Your hand size, your hand side. I mean, all that sort of stuff. It's just really unbelievable. I mean, you know, I'm going to have to ask Boomer Von Cannon because he would know. He would know. I want to know. I'm going to ask him when we come up here in a little while. Can I practice? Can I do Willie and the hand jive left? Going primary left, or do I have to go primary right on Willie and the Hand Job? We got to find out about that. News Talk.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
710-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. 704-570-1110. So there's this story moving that didn't get much attention, but I think it's significant. It's important. Kamala Harris was once the Attorney General of the state of California. That was before she was a senator and then the Vice President of the United States. Fox News reporting that Kamala Harris's Attorney General's office illegally colluded with abortion providers during an investigation, attorneys are alleging. This is coming out of Sam Dorman at Fox News. He says, recent statements and court documents indicate that when Vice President Kamala Harris was Attorney General of California, her office colluded with prominent abortion providers as she pursued a criminal case against pro-life journalist David DeLaden, his attorneys are arguing. As Attorney General, Harris took the unprecedented step of charging DeLaden with violating a state eavesdropping law. Part of the investigation entailed seizing a variety of materials from DeLaden's apartment, including a then unreleased undercover video footage of what was going on at Planned Parenthood. DeLaden's attorneys argue that one of Harris's appointees, Deputy Attorney General Jeanette Jaron, effectively admitted in May of 2021 that she abused the powers of her office by giving the National Abortion Federation that footage and other materials that had been seized during a raid in 2016 from DeLaden's apartment as part of Harris's criminal investigation. By that time, the National Abortion Federation was actually suing DeLaden in a civil case. So you're talking about the Attorney General of the state of California giving evidence to an outside party that's in a lawsuit against the person she's allegedly investigating. Superior Court of San Francisco County Judge Christopher Height had asked Jaron about evidence in May of this year, while noting that DeLaden retained different rights in his criminal proceeding ongoing since 2016 than he did in his civil trial with NAF, which began in July of 2015. In response to the judge, the deputy AG said she had provided NAF with everything that I provided the defendant, DeLaden. DeLaden's attorneys now argue that the statement implied Jaron gave NAF the footage along with other materials taken in his apartment raid. In August, DeLaden followed by asking San Francisco's Superior Court to compel the Attorney General's office to provide correspondence with the National Abortion Federation, Planned Parenthood, and others. The AG's office replied by accusing DeLaden of taking Jaron's words out of context. But she admitted that to a judge. The exchange reflects that there were multiple issues being discussed by multiple participants in the conversation. While somewhat inartful and overbroad, neither of the identified sentences provide a factual basis upon which the court can find the existence of the relevant evidence. But think about this. You have a situation on your hands here where the Vice President of the United States is somebody who played it from the bottom of the deck when she was the Attorney General in the state of California. I mean, this is incredible. Jaron, for her part, said, I have not provided any materials seized pursuant to a search warrant in this case to any unauthorized recipient, but several of the billing records from NAF's civil attorneys raise questions about the abortion provider's cooperation with Kamala Harris's office. One of the records shows attorney Alexandra Lax billing $262.50 for coordinating a review of new videos, which would probably be that video. So now the question becomes, okay, did Kamala Harris collude with abortion providers? Harris's prosecution prompted questions about the influence of Planned Parenthood. Various Planned Parenthood entities and other abortion-related groups, for example, gave Harris a combined $81,000 for her campaigns to become Attorney General and later a U.S. Senator. And also gave money to Javier Becerra, who is currently serving as the HHS director of the Biden administration. DeLaden's home was raided just weeks after Harris's meeting with Planned Parenthood executives, which was revealed in the discovery for DeLaden's criminal case. Billing records show that on the day of that meeting, National Abortion Federation attorney Derek Foran and the attorney general's office had a conference call in which they discussed legal research regarding what subject was redacted. This is as dirty as it gets. Nobody's going to ask her about this. Well, you can't ask Vice President Harris anything because she has never done a press conference since she's been vice president. Happy birthday, by the way, to the vice president. She's 57 today. So you're allowed to do anything you want. Think about this. Like, if you run the FBI, you're allowed to spy on Trump. If you run the IRS, you're allowed to target Tea Party groups. If you're in charge of running an operation in Libya, you're allowed to let an ambassador get murdered by jihadists. If you're the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder, you're allowed to send 3,000 guns into Mexico in the hands of the Sinaloa cartel, resulting in the deaths of hundreds or maybe thousands of people, innocent people, and you just get to skate. What if every Republican in the entire country just suddenly registered as Democrats and said, you know what, we're all just going to register as Democrats, and we're going to join the party, and we're just going to take over the Democratic Party? Because, I mean, they get away with everything. I mean, it's really remarkable. I mean, this is really an incredible thing. Jose, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
Doing well.
I have a question. I'm not sure why this right-handed, left-handed conversation started. I just jumped in the car. But what are we, I think we're politicizing this issue, or somebody is.
They are. Let me reset the table here on the right-left-handed thing, okay? So... Right. So you know all the activism that's going on college campuses, BLM, CRT, all that kind of stuff that's going on? There's a big concern about privilege that's taking place there on the college campuses. And I came into possession of a slide of a presentation being given at a college someplace. And it says, right-handed privilege. There's a woman speaking behind a podium. Right-handed privilege makes it easier, makes life easier. It gives you a sense of belonging to fit in. The world is organized for right-handers. More access, more opportunity, more advantage. And the original source of this is Old Row Official over on Instagram. So this is about making the argument that there's such a thing called right-handed privilege.
Okay. So there's also something called right eye dominant privilege, then, because you got shooters, right? They can shoot a rifle with the right hand, but most likely they are right eye dominant. But some cases you got a right-handed person with a left eye dominant, and I assure you that's a fun day to train a soldier in a range, because they cannot qualify for nothing.
Oh my gosh, that's a nightmare.
Yes. So they have to be. So you had a listener talking about retrained to be a left-handed by, or
retrained to be right-handed. Yeah, be right-handed instead of being left. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's a real thing. In the Army, you have to retrain a left eye dominant to fire with a right hand.
How do you do that?
Or vice versa, because if they got left-handed, guess what? They're not going to be sent home. So that kind of takes the privilege theory out of the way. Trust me, you're going to enjoy basic training either way.
Good stuff, Jose.
And the Army doesn't have left-handed rifles, I promise you that.
Oh, yeah, and I believe you. I believe you. Holy cow. So, that's a whole other kettle of fish, man. That's good stuff to know.
Yeah.
I appreciate you being out there. Now we got more complications. I feel left behind.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT, Brent Winterble Show. So let me take you over to this for a quick second. No doubt you know about the woke politics. The question is, have we reached the high water mark of woke? Joel Kotkin, writing this over at Spiked-Online, dropping today. This is a really well put together argument that he's put down. Over the past decade, the woke agenda has crested like a giant tsunami, covering virtually the entirety of academia, the media, the corporate world, even the military. The Gramscian concept of the long march through the institutions embraced by 1960s radicals like Germany's Rudi Dutschke have achieved overwhelming success. What that is, the march of the institutions was, there was a decision made in the mid to late 60s, really the mid 60s. The left over in Europe decided what they were going to do was they were going to corrupt all the institutions that you could possibly corrupt. They were going to corrupt academia, schools, elementary schools, then work their way up into corporations, businesses, the government, the military, all that sort of stuff. So what Kotkin is saying is they've been very successful at doing this. You know, we've played that clip from the Russian defector, right, who talked about how it was that they were able to take the United States down from the 1960s to the 1980s, that it took a couple of generations to demoralize the American people. Well, there are signs that the woke progressive model may be losing its appeal even among some liberals, Kotkin notes. The bulk of public opinions, it is not in progressives' favor. In the U.S., activist progressives notes a recent study represent 8% of the electorate. Think about that. The woke activists represent only 8% of the electorate. That's barely half the size of moderates and a third of the size of conservatives. They lack in numbers, though they make up for with single-minded determination. Progressive whites, notes The Atlantic, are the most intolerant of all Americans. Led by those in the Boston area. Where is Elizabeth Warren from? Where's Johnny Kerry from? Where's that Bernie Sanders from, huh? While people in smaller towns and cities seem to be far more open-minded, the people in Boston, not so much. The scalps of those targeted by the woke are strewn across the landscape. There's the cancellations of ideologically unacceptable speakers, the delisting of books, the increasingly selective media coverage, evident particularly in the 2020 election and its aftermath. But the vehemence of progressives, their lack of humor or grace may prove to be their undoing. Among Republicans, wokeness drives them further away from the mainstream media, as many of them now regard certain outlets as little more than vehicles for proselytizing progressivism. Right? Think MSNBC and CNN. But it's not just the nut jobs of the far right. A recent Rasmussen survey found 58% of likely voters at least somewhat agree that the media are the enemy of the people. Cancel culture is no more popular than the rest of the woke agenda. More millennials oppose than support cancel culture. The older generations much more firmly are against it. Yeah, Gen X, baby. But most heartening is that those in the younger generation, I've been saying this, the so-called Zs, are the most hostile to cancel culture. 55% disapprove of it. 8% of the Gen Zers, those are the kids that are just in college and high school right now, that's who they're talking about. Simply put, what progressives are offering the populace does not much like, particularly on social issues. There's been a record-breaking surge of violent crime, but some progressive politicians and media enablers refuse to combat the disorder. Some have even embraced riots, particularly the looting, and backed defunding or abolishing the police. This has not worked out well for the progressives. In New York City, a black ex-cop won the Democratic nomination against candidates sympathetic to defunding the police. Even left-leaning constituencies are horrified by crimes. Perhaps most important of all, the far-left agenda pushed by Bernie Sanders and the progressives in Congress, who are essentially setting up a new green, politically correct system financed by taxpayers, is failing with the public, particularly independents. Public support for big government is decreasing and is now the minority position. In Ohio, a Bernie Sanders-style candidate for Congress was defeated. The Biden administration continues to struggle with low poll numbers, continues to identify with these losing progressives. Race has been particularly a problem for Biden. The administration has embraced the racialist agenda of the progressives built around critical race theory. Remarkably, parents opposing critical race theory in schools have been singled out as possible terrorist threats. Yet this parents' movement seems to be gaining strength, including in upper middle class suburbs like Loudoun County, Virginia, the Philadelphia Ring Counties, North Dallas, where Democrats had made gains previously, but now stand to lose ground. In 2021, the number of school board recalls has more than doubled from previous years. There are numerous legal challenges to CRT across the country. But when it comes to Biden's political malpractice, nothing compares to the mounting disaster at the border. Most Americans favor legal immigration, but support for open borders amid the biggest surge in illegal crossings in 20 years is not deep. They're on the wrong side of this fight, folks, and they know it. It's why they're getting desperate. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I am Brett Winterman, and I am here to guide you over the course of the next 60 minutes. 704-570-1110. We call this show the Brett Winterman Show. Fully interactive. You can reach us on the Twitter, the Facebook, the phones. You can text us, but I don't know what the text line number is. I'm sorry. I'll try to find that out at some point. 704-570-1110. Big news here, folks, and I want to spread this with you. We have teamed up with Charlotte Mechanical to help our neighbors in need get new or like new coats through the 704 Coat Drive. Head to the store, buy a new one, or give a second life to one of the coats that you've gently used. Maybe your kid's outgrown it. No coats, no problem. You can still make a monetary donation to benefit the Salvation Army of Greater Charlotte online or find the collection barrel closest to you at 704coatdrive.com. It's so important. This time of year, it starts to get cold, and there's nothing worse than feeling that cold air on you when you get out there in the morning. So look for that collection barrel nearest to you at 704coatdrive.com. Tomorrow night, we are going to be doing something terrific. We got the Talktoberfest underway, and that's going to start at 7:30, and it's going to be me and Vince Coakley, and it's going to be a fully interactive thing. I know I heard Pete Callender earlier today say that he was going to swing by and check out and see what it is that we're up to. We're going to be talking about all the big news stories of the day, and it's your opportunity to interact with us and ask us questions. You can ask us questions about the news of the day, stories, things that we've covered, our opinions on different things. You can even ask us questions about us as people. I'm assuming I'm a person. No, you can just check it out. It's at the WBT Facebook page, and you can just go there, WBT Facebook page, and be a part of this. It's going to start at 7:30 tomorrow night, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It is our Talktoberfest, and we're looking forward to celebrating with you. One of the other big stories that's out there moving right now, and this is happening in real time, there is a homicide standoff in North Charlotte. This release coming out regarding a homicide investigation in the Metro Division. Detectives with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police Department's homicide unit are conducting a homicide investigation in the Metro Division. Shortly before 12:45 today, officers responded to an assault with a deadly weapon call for service on the 1400 block of Spring Street. When they arrived, officers located an adult female victim with an apparent gunshot wound. The victim was pronounced deceased on the scene by medic. From the information provided by witnesses, detectives had reason to believe the suspect was possibly still on the scene. Out of an abundance of caution, the CMPD's special weapons and tactics, the SWAT team, responded to assist with a search for the suspect, who was determined to have fled the area. Homicide unit detectives responded to the scene to conduct their investigation and crime search. The crime scene search is also responding to the process. So you've got a tough situation out there. If you know anything about this, terrible crime, you're asked to call 704-432-TIPS or call Crime Stoppers at 704-334-1600. And there's a lot going on here in town today. You know, I mean, we've got a lot of different stories that are out there moving, and we certainly want to be somebody that's going to be able to help you get the information that you need and help you be, able to participate in all the big stuff that's going on out there. Big announcement earlier today that came from the feds telling you that it's now getting near time to vaccinate your 5 to 11-year-olds. That's right. They got the vaccine now coming out. Don't worry about the natural immunity or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, it's really quite something. Here is one of the elements of this story that I think is particularly galling and disturbing at the same time. And it's this OSHA isn't tracking COVID vaccine side effects because it doesn't want to undermine Biden's shot campaign. The U.S. Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration is not requiring companies to report any of their employees potentially damaging side effects from the COVID-19 vaccine because the regulatory agency doesn't want to hamper the Biden administration's vaccine campaign. This is Jordan Davidson writing over at The Federalist in these last hours. DOL, Department of Labor, and OSHA, as well as other federal agencies, are working diligently to encourage COVID-19 vaccinations. As a result, OSHA will not enforce 29 CFR 1904, which is the recording requirements to require any employers to record worker side effects from the COVID-19 vaccination. Under OSHA's current COVID-19 emergency temporary standard for healthcare, businesses are not required to report their workers' adverse effects to the jab because OSHA does not wish to have any appearance of discouraging workers from receiving the COVID-19 vaccination. That is disturbing. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm vaccinated. And if I got to get a booster, I'll get a booster. I'll talk to my doctor, see what he says. But this is disturbing that they're affirmatively saying, don't tell us if anybody gets sick from the shot. What? Are you kidding me? Now, here's what's crazy, right? Just last week, OSHA admitted that it might rely on tattletales within companies to speed up its enforcement of President Joe Biden's currently unenforceable directive, pressuring the private sector businesses to mandate the COVID-19 shots for employees. While the details of the rule are still under private review by the White House, OSHA told Bloomberg that when necessary, OSHA has several methods to hold employers accountable for the safety and health of their workers and will investigate and punish businesses that fail to comply with the pending order based on reporting from workers at non-compliant companies. I'll tell you what else I think ought to happen here, too. Let me say this. I mean, I do think you should report adverse reactions from the shot, no doubt. If you have to report COVID cases, you should have to report adverse reactions because you may actually save other people's lives down the road, number one. Number two, I hope the Republicans get a brain in their heads and they push for this. Mandatory reporting of how many people have been fired or resigned from companies as a result of the vaccine mandate. We should know how many doctors, nurses, teachers, truck drivers, laborers have quit their jobs or been fired. We ought to know what that economic cost is for the folks who have been let go, fired, or otherwise have quit. We ought to know what that number is because we need to know the full scale when it comes time to demand a settlement conference and reparations from the Chinese Communist Party. Because let me tell you something, as we get closer to 2022, I'm going to demand that these politicians, these gutless politicians that come around looking for attention, I'm going to demand that they begin to make noise for a settlement conference from the People's Republic of China because of what they did, not just to us, but to our allies. You know who they did it to? The democracies that you always hear about. And we deserve to be compensated by Xi Jinping and the 4CP. The Crooked Chinese Communist Party.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110-993 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. You know, this is the time of the day where what we do is we cross the streams, we reach across AM, PM together. Together and better than ever. Bo Thompson is the host of the Bo Thompson Morning Show, and he joins us on the phone now. Hello, Bo Thompson.
How's it going?
It's going well today, my friend. It's going well today. I got a bone to pick with you, but it's, other than that, it's going pretty well today.
It's always I always like an intro like that.
Well, look, you said you wanted to see, and I totally respect your desire to see the Braves play the Dodgers in Atlanta on Saturday night, right? I totally respect. And you said what you need is the Dodgers to win. And your dream came true last night.
That's right. And come from behind. I was thinking, you know, the Braves jumped out to a 5-2 lead. I'm thinking, you know, Atlanta's going to sweep it. That's what's going to happen here to me. And I'm not going to get to go to a game. But yeah. It's all about me, right?
Well, my Red Sox, I feel like you cursed the Red Sox. I feel like because I called a Red Sox-Braves World Series, and I feel like it collateral damaged me here a little bit, and I ended up I needed those runs at the end of that game last night.
I still think the Red Sox are going to win.
Did he just double curse me? Double. If they lose tonight, I'm going to be really mad.
I still think the Astros are going to win.
Dusty Baker was like so happy. Dusty Baker was like, "All right, man, you just got to put one together, and then you just got to score some more runs. That's all you got to do." I can't imagine. Can you think of? And we'll get into the news of the day stuff because big time stuff to talk about. But what do you think is the most stressful sports situation to be in? Is it a manager in the World Series or the Championship Series, and you're down and you're worried that you're going to go down three? Is it being a quarterback that's got big expectations in the NFL and you get into a playoff and you blow up? I mean, what do you think? Who do you think's got the most stress on them when it comes to playing in these types of sports?
Wow, that's a
I know
that's a good question because I've always thought. I mean, I've talked about this in various ways over the years, and you know, you talk about team sports versus individual sports, like in tennis and golf, it's all on you.
Correct.
You know, and granted, a game. I guess more than basketball or football,
mm-hmm.
of the three, you know, big time sports.
Yes.
I would say that, and you could throw soccer in the same category. The four big time sports, or even hockey, baseball's the one where even though you're on a team,
mm-hmm.
you know, a pitcher, you know, a
uh-huh.
closer or a starting pitcher, or even a batter, in the moment. You know, it's a team sport, but it's individualized.
That's right.
So, I don't know. I guess I'd probably have to say, if we're going, you know, golf and tennis notwithstanding, I'd say if you're on the mound trying to close it out, you're at the plate with,
mm-hmm.
you know, down to your front, your final strike, and it's a 3-2 count, and a series is on the line. That's probably it.
Yeah, I think I'm going with pitcher trying to close it. You know, Nathan Eovaldi last night. You know, you hope that every time somebody who's going to try to close the thing out, not the series, but to close the game out. You know, you certainly want to be Mariano Rivera, right, or
right.
Jonathan Papelbon, or somebody like that.
Agreed.
But you know, that's just got to be nerve wracking. The idea that it's all on you, and you know that's a problem. We will watch the games tonight, though. We'll enjoy them, and that's what's important.
Absolutely, I'll watch the Dodgers win, and then I will enjoy watching the Dodgers lose.
Gosh, this
that's
guy.
What it's all about.
Yeah, I know. I get it. You're in a sticky wicket here, as they say in cricket.
TJ rolling his eyes.
He is. He's white knuckling it a little bit.
Well, I want to be able to text TJ from the stadium on Saturday.
All right. You should FaceTime him from the stadium.
Oh, yeah, that's an even better idea.
That's a great thing you should do right there. Let me take you over to this interesting story developing just about noon this afternoon, as we saw the coroner and the FBI and Brian Laundrie's parents showing up at this nature preserve. They said they did retrieve a body. They're not saying about the identity of that body yet. Do we have a sense that this may be the closure that people were expecting?
Well, you know, I've been watching the coverage this afternoon. In fact, I just saw Chris Swecker, mm-hmm. who was on my show a good bit here from North Carolina, former FBI special agent in charge, and I'm hoping to talk to him on the show tomorrow about this. But he was on Fox this afternoon, and obviously, you know, the news came out that you just said, and they said that you know, remains have been found along with Brian Laundrie's backpack and notebook, mm-hmm. in an area that was for a time underwater. So. Closure from the standpoint of he's found, I guess, if this ends up being what they think it is. But there again, you know, some people were thinking that he'd be found alive. Some people were thinking that he would be found deceased.
Mm-hmm.
And so if he's deceased, it has some degree of closure, but then there'll be questions that won't be immediately answered about, what happened down to the end with the relationship with Gabby Petito and other parts of the investigation. So I guess closure from the standpoint that you now will have verification of the whereabouts of the two people in the story, but principal people in the story. But as far as you know, what happened between the start of us reporting about this and the end of this moment, or I guess there's still a lot to be connected.
I just find it so interesting that on this day they find him, the same day Nicholas Cruz goes in and pleads guilty to the murders of all those young lives and teachers at Parkland, and it's just such a heartbreaking story to see these two things side by side. These families finally getting closure after 3 years.
Yeah, and I saw some of his comments today in court, and as I'm reading them, and this is in the Parkland case, he says, If I were to get a second chance, I would do everything in my power to try to help others. I'm doing this for you, and I don't care if you do not believe me. And he went on to say, I try to push through because I know that's what you guys would want me to do, which is an odd statement, mm-hmm. given we know what he did. And I who he's actually talking to, is he talking to the families there, I suppose? I guess, you know, there who might be in the courtroom, but it's just... I don't know. I saw those comments today, and I don't know quite what to make of them.
Yeah, it's a horribly tragic act of evil, and unfortunately, both of these incidents are acts of evil, yeah. And it's far too prevalent in our society. And all right, well, on a positive note, I'm going to get you some baseball in there tonight, and then we'll get back together tomorrow. Who might we hear from tomorrow with Bo Thompson?
Well, like I said, I'm efforting having Chris Swecker mm-hmm. make an appearance on my show tomorrow. Hopefully. His schedule will work out there. We'll get the latest on the Brian Laundrie situation. Brett Jensen joins me on Thursdays from 8 to 10. We have David Chadwick in the house. We have Bill Graham, our legal analyst, in the house. And so I hear that Pete Callender's might make a cameo tomorrow night. I might have to monitor this Facebook Live event tomorrow night because, you know, I was part of Episode 1.
That's right.
I was just setting the table for Episode 3.
Episode 1, A New Beginning. And what's going to be wonderful about this is this could quickly go from just Brett and Vince, this could become Hell in a Cell.
No disqualification.
That's right. I got the 27-foot high ladder. You know,
the loser has to retire. This is great because I know how this works, having been part of one myself. You know, I can just jump in that chat room and I can ask whatever question I want.
Yes, you can, and we're compelled to answer, truthfully.
Absolutely.
They have shock collars on us. All right. Bo Thompson, enjoy the night, my friend. We'll pick it up tomorrow.
You too, man.
Thank you.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT. It is the Brett Winterbull Show. All right, I got to give you the latest update on inflation. Inflation's a big deal. You know it, I know it, we all know it. Confident consumers have swallowed higher supermarket prices so far, reports the Wall Street Journal this year. But the risk of indigestion is growing. See what they did there? For companies that are trying to profit with this sort of situation, the shares are up like 3% in early trading. So you've got this situation where you've got a ton of money chasing a limited supply of stuff. And what does that mean? It means the price goes up. Nestle's costs of goods sold will increase by around 4% this year. Think about it. This is Nestle, right? Which is a lot of different food products. Mostly you think of them as the chocolate company. They're going to have to spend more money to continue to operate. They're going to pass along those costs. One of their biggest businesses, by the way, Nestle, coffee. And they've got hedges in place to protect them from price spikes, but they're going to pass along the costs. And what they're saying is, you might see 5% price increases on grocery products. Food inflation is approaching more sensitive levels in the United States, where prices for food consumed in the home increased 4.5% just in September. So you've got everything going up in that regard. Now, the more you spend on your groceries, the less you have to spend on your other stuff. But it's not just groceries. What else is it? It's energy, gas, no doubt. But it's also going to be electricity. It's going to be the stuff that you need to heat your home. We're in a mess. And I mean, we are in a mess. And now, remember when they were hoarding stuff? Remember when the people were hoarding things at the supermarket? There's such a thing now called panic shopping. Have you ever done panic shopping, panic ordering? Panic ordering by retailers is making the supply chain crisis even worse than it was before. Supply chains everywhere have been hit by the massive disruptions this year. Suddenly, retailers and manufacturers are over-ordering because of these supply chain issues. The energy crisis in mainland China and Europe are the latest to roil the shipping industry. Retailers and manufacturers are over-ordering or placing orders too early amid panic over the supply chain crisis. That's making things much worse. This is sort of like the equivalent of, well, look, you just had a terrible water outage here, right? You had the water main break. And what do you do? What's the first thing you do when the water main breaks? You check the sink like every 15 minutes. Is it on? And then what do? You turn all your spigots on in your house so that if it does kick in, you're going to know immediately because you're going to hear, and then the water's going to be coming out with the ick in it. Right? You got the 15 minutes of ick. So this is what's happening. So they're like, oh, we don't have enough supply. Let's order more supplies. Let's get more stuff in here. We got to get more stuff in here. You've got big time companies that are buying ships. They're buying ships to ship their own stuff because you got so much stuff stacked up out there off the West Coast. And it's down in Savannah, you got a huge problem too. Retailers and manufacturers are now over-ordering. We're going to run out of kielbasa. Let's order 40 tons of it. Because that's going to just get right to you. Record shortages, shipping delays are expected this holiday season. Here's who the shoppers are blaming. Looming holiday season will likely exacerbate a global supply chain calamity that's already underway as shoppers rush into stores and onto websites to secure presents for loved ones. Experts are warning shoppers can expect to find record out of stocks messages as they scan retail websites and face prolonged shipping delays. Fortunately for retailers, customers are more likely to cast the blame for late packages on delivery carriers. Out-of-stock messages on the internet are expected to be up 172% this holiday season compared with 2020 levels, and up 360% on a two-year basis. We've never seen levels like this before, said Vivek Pandya, the lead analyst at Adobe Digital Insights. To compile its holiday expectations, Adobe tracks more than 1 trillion visits to retailer websites in the United States and monitors over 100 million items sold online. So who are consumers going to blame for the shipping delays? Well, number one is the courier or the delivery company. Number two, external conditions, weather, supply disruptions, retailers and sellers. Then there's other. I don't know what other is. They may blame the delivery agent or employee and then consumer product brands. You know what I think is going to happen? I'm going to make a prediction right now. Hold on. I'm going to turn off my mic while I make this prediction. You know what people are going to do is they're going to go. Is the mic still on? Okay, good. It's off. They're going to buy stuff on eBay. Slightly used, gently used stuff. Hey, TJ, I'm going to get Josh a transistor radio. Okay, am I back on the air? Good. Whew, that was close. You know what you're going to do? You're actually gonna have to like settle for other stuff. I used to joke about this, that those people who shop like at the last possible second, you know, you go over there to the drugstore or you go to the drugstore, and what do? You get yourself a bottle of like Jean Nate, you get yourself a Legs Eggs, a pantyhose thing, you get 2 scratch offs, a bottle of Rumplemints, and. What else is good? Oh, that Toblerone looks pretty tasty. Stuff all that in a stocking. Then pop the champagne, honey. Merry Christmas. Welcome to Shortages. 705. I got your transistor radio, too. Isn't this cool? It's got the one thing for your ear.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Coming in here. He's got Charlotte at 6 coming up here. I think it's a perfect song for him. I think it's a perfect tune. News Talk 1110 993 WBT.
Baby, don't hurt me.
That's it. So we got you in here. You're coming up, we got Charlotte at 6. That happens right after 6, by the way, just so you know. And listen, I got Talktoberfest tomorrow.
Oh, I can know.
Okay, I got Talktoberfest tomorrow with Vince.
I'm going to bombard you people.
So you see, this is happening. This is going to become hell in a cell.
It really is.
Because PK said earlier today that he's popping in. Then Bo Thompson just told me he's coming in. Now you're coming in.
Like, I'm going to come in with, like, fake names.
What's the fake name you're going to use?
There's a lot. Not suitable for public radio. Maybe more serious XM type.
You're not coming in with names like that. I refuse to believe that. He's gonna come in. He's gonna be like this, right? He's gonna be all like, Cindy Lauper.
No.
Sydney Lauper.
No. There will be names that you'll immediately recognize. Like,
yeah, okay.
This has got to be a Jensen situation.
All right on. Yeah. There we go.
And then it turns out it's not.
The sort of thing that you might page somebody at an airport.
That's exactly right.
All right, listen, Josh is right there, and he's the commandante of this thing. You gotta activate, make sure, TJ, you work with him on this. We've got to activate the 77-second delay, even though it's streaming.
Live streaming, big boy.
That's it. That's always the fun stuff.
Oh, this is going to be so much fun, because I want to see like, you laugh hysterically, and I want to see Vince... like, have a look of sheer terror on his face.
No.
With my questions.
No. We're going to keep it family friendly and fun. In fact, I've invited an entire pre-K class to watch the program. It's going to be
good. I'll make sure to include them.
They have thoughts on a number of topics.
They're
worried
do.
About the supply chain.
Like what color Crayolas they've
got. Well, they're worried about the supply chain. Right. Are you going to get that stuff? For Santa going to be able to get that?
What do I do with this gun I found in elementary school?
No, well, I mean, you are talking about CMS kids. That's a possibility.
That's okay. Now, hold on a second. Let's go. So we got gun number 11 that was found earlier
on
today.
Yes,
on say. 11. So it's in 44 days, 11 guns?
Well, I had to do the exact math. I mean, I literally will do it during the commercial break, but I know last week it was 36 days, 10 guns.
10 guns. So one every 3.5 days.
So, I mean, I don't remember what day of the week that was. And so, I can be honest with you, this is where it's actually gotten sad. And I'm being sincere when I say this. And I'm not trying to be like, oh, funny isn't ha ha.
Yeah.
It's gotten to the point now where it's almost becoming blasé, where every other school district in the country would be going, holy crap, this were happening in Raleigh,
right,
or Greensboro, or Wilmington, or Winston, or Gaston, or Asheville.
Mm-hmm.
There would be meltdowns. If this were happening in Columbia, Greenville, Charleston, meltdowns. Here it's like, oh, another week, another gun. Like, early on, it was like, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. Now it's like, eh.
So when you get the tip, and then you make that call, can you hear it in their voice at CMS when you're calling to verify? Like, you're like, so you found a, and then do they go, yeah.
No, because what I do is I generally don't even talk to the CMS PR department anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's the same answer literally every time.
Right.
And so when I get my information from CMPD, you know, with the reports
then you know
and everything
else. You know what you got, yeah.
I don't need to call CMS and have them literally say, it's currently under investigation and this is a CMPD matter.
Yeah.
That's literally what it says.
Yeah, they're just going to send you the other way. Right.
Like, there's nothing to see here. Mm-hmm. We got nothing to say.
This is terrible. I mean, this is a bad situation all the way around. Which school was it today, just so people know?
West Charlotte High School, 17-year-old kid.
All right.
Gun, 11. Two sexual assaults. Countless knives.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable.
I mean, it's gotten to the point where I'm not even worried about the knives on campus anymore, and how sad is that? I've lost track.
Yeah.
I quit counting the number of knives.
Right. I think what has to happen, though, here is they've got to get a handle on this. They got to do some sweeps. Like you said, they can wand them. They can, you know, search. They can do stuff like that. And that's a hugely important thing. So this is obviously one of the big stories that's dominating this situation. You know what I found curious, Brett? Because I know you and I kind of think in the same sort of way about big time things. So with this water main failure, with this pipe failure that we just watched take place in the last 24 hours, I would think if you wanted to go out and sell an infrastructure bill, you would have a high profile somebody connected to Biden, Harris, or somebody like that, showing up and making the case for rebuilding infrastructure, saying, look, you got a huge water pipe that has broken. You know, thousands and thousands of people have been certainly made inconvenienced and maybe worse. You would think that the Biden administration would send somebody down here to say, hey, you've got infrastructure failure, obviously. We've got to get this infrastructure bill thing done. But I don't get that sense of urgency, and I think they're forgetting the needs of the people in the local communities.
Well, they said it's in their annual budget every single year. They because I mean, I asked this very specific question yesterday, and it's in the water department's yearly annual budget for refurbishment, renewal of pipes, and there are different pipes. The one that burst the other day is a concrete pipe.
Right.
The cast iron pipes,
right,
which are literally 30 years older, that are literally 100 years old.
Yeah.
From the 1920s.
Right.
Perfect operating condition because they're cast iron.
Yep.
They're crazy, crazy thick.
Yep.
There is no issues with those.
Yeah.
These were the concrete pipes that broke right at the main artery,
which
is why it affected so much of Mecklenburg County. Right. It wasn't a neighborhood pipe that broke. It was a right at the connection where it goes from the main artery to all the veins, if you will, if you're like thinking about a human body. And so that's where it broke. And so that's why there are issues. And so, and this was, I think they also said it was under 15 feet of concrete
That's crazy. That's unbelievable.
That they had to dig down to get to. And then once they got to it, the valve,
right,
214 turns to turn off the water.
God. Oh my God! All right,
think about it, and you're having to do that manually.
Yeah, yeah, do it manually. All right, Brett Jensen's going to be doing Charlotte at 6.
By the way, just did the math.
What is it?
11 guns in 39 school days.
Wow.
Equals 3.5. Every 3.5 days, there's a new gun.
Unbelievable. Brett's going to take you all the way across the hour. I'm Brett Witterbull, News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT.